This is Sean with Voices of St. Joan of Arc, and I'm speaking with Marty Gallagher. Marty, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Sean. Thank you.
All right, so what day and year and city were you born in?
July 11th, 1959. I was born at St. Vincent Hospital, which at the time was at Fall Creek and Capitol, in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay. And your family, did you have a family that was connected with St. Joan of Arc, or how did you get connected with St. Joan of Arc?
Yes. And as a youngster, I didn't realize how connected my family was. But, and I didn't know this until I was an adult, and I heard my dad talking to somebody after church. We were having coffee, you know. And my paternal grandmother was the first regular organist at St. Joan of Arc.
Okay. And so your first memories, were you going to school there as well as church, or what was your first memories?
Well, I would say I was baptized. You go to St. Joan of Arc now, or
I grew up going to Christ the King, and then I went to Chittard. That's where I grew up.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks. I was baptized at Lourdes, and then we moved to my grandfather's house on 52nd Street in March of 1962. There was a blizzard that year. They even derisively named the mayor Snowbelt Charlie because he said that Indiana was not a snowbelt state. And so, of course, as soon as he said that, there's, you know, a major, you know, once in 50 years blizzard. But so I was about 2 and a half when we moved to 52nd Street. And my first memories of being in Joan of Arc, of course, that huge cavernous interior, the vastness that my dad talked about. But you've got adults in front of you. So you've got somebody like an 80-year-old lady with a mink around her neck in front of you, and you're looking at the little beady black eyes of the mink. So that was me as a toddler. But I would, you know, you would look up like as kids do, and I would imagine kids still do this. You look up at those lights on the ceiling, and you squint your eyes, and then they shoot out as stars, and then you turn your head, and it's kind of like a kaleidoscope. But I did, after kindergarten at school 70 at 46th and Central, I started first grade at Joan of Arc in, September of 1965.
Okay. So what type of involvement did you have with the church over the years?
The church, well, primarily the church and the school were institutions to me, and as I became an adult, I felt lucky that I had the advantage of those institutions. I felt lucky that I went to one grade school for 8 years. I went to one high school, which was Brebeuf. I've got an older brother, 15 months older than me, and he kind of paved the way for some of these things. I went to one college, which was IU, and then I got married when I was a senior in college and moved to Texas in June of 1981 when I was almost 22, and I had a son who also is named Marty Gallagher, and he's 39. He's going to be 40 this year, and I have a daughter. So when you ask Sean about what is my involvement with the church, I have to confess, I'm kind of the quintessential cradle Catholic who Protestant people, sometimes they say, and maybe other people as well, but they say we don't know that much about the Bible. And I'm guilty of that. I didn't really start trying to read the Bible until I was an adult. But of course, you know, when you go to Mass every Sunday, you get your readings. You know, you get your Old Testament and your New Testament, and so you pick up a lot by osmosis. But I didn't really try to make a formal study of it until I was an adult, and I'd still like to do that more. Let's see, where was I going with that?
Well, just some favorite memories and involvement. You know, what are some of the, you know, just kind of really cool moments that stand out, you know, over the years that you were able to be involved?
I would say my grandparents went to St. Joan of Arc, obviously, when my grandma was playing the organ. For me, two happy memories were when I was in first grade. There was a nun named Sister Mary Pascal. My older brother had her, and a lot of people who are my age remember her. She was maybe 4'10", but I was entrusted with the milk cards, which there was not a school cafeteria at that time. Everybody brought their lunch either in, you know, their Batman or Barbie lunchbox, but then we went down to get the little, I guess they were half pints carton. We went down to get the little cartons of milk, which they kept. And one night I was distraught because I thought I had lost the milk cards. The old milk cards were mimeograph sheets, and the new milk cards were names printed on like 3x5 index cards. So that was a technological leap to go from mimeograph sheets to the 3x5 index cards. But I thought I had lost those mimeograph sheets, and I went in the next morning, and we were lining up to go into school. I said to Sister Mary Pascal, "I think I've lost the milk cards." And she said, "No, that's okay. We've got the new milk cards." And so she immediately made me feel better. She could tell, I'm sure, that I was upset. And she said, "You come up here with me to the head of the line and help lead the class into school." So that was I always felt comforted and nurtured and cared about by the teachers in class. The playground was a different story, just because you got kids running and knocking each other down, and my head hit that asphalt pavement a few times when I was little. But it was just a good experience to go through grade school, you know, with the same group of characters. You know, you get to about fifth or sixth grade, and you have slumber parties, and I had the first one. I had like eight guys over to our house, which was not big, but then those same, you know, seven or eight guys each had a slumber party. So that was fun. And CYO, as you probably remember, Sean, CYO football and basketball, that was fun. CYO baseball. CYO was a huge, when you combine the sports, but also CYO camp in Brown County, which I went three times as a camper. And then I worked there as a dishwasher during girls' season in 1974, and I was a counselor in 1975. So only two multi-week summers as an employee, but before that, 3 1-week stints as a camper. And I'm just amazed at the influence that CYO had in our lives, between the sports, the Brown County camps, which were, you probably know, Rancho Formosa and Christina.
Yep.
And then when you add into that, when we got into high school, we still had a youth group, which was kind of a social thing. You know, you met on Tuesday nights, and once in a while you took trips like to go ride on the Belle of Louisville or whatever. But or you went to Butler to Clouse Hall to see Godspell, which was a play. I'm not sure how old you are, so
no, I remember Godspell. Oh yeah.
I don't want to take any references for granted, but I mean, CYO was huge, and you know, it's not till later when you get out of school or you go to a more diverse, maybe, and more heterogeneous environment, which is a good thing. When you go to a place like IU, you kind of realize, well, not everybody's got, you know, this, they don't have this situation where you go to school at this place, you go to church at the same parish, you grow up, as you grow, you know, your first friends live like a block away, and then you get a bike maybe when you're in fourth or fifth grade, and your range expands, and your friends live like a half mile away. Then you get a 10-speed, and you're able to you know, make friends with like my best friend was Eddie Batista. He lived on the other side of the parish. I lived on the north side of the parish on 52nd Street. He lived on Fall Creek Boulevard, and so you know, your range extends as you get a 10-speed bike or a car eventually. So I was just felt lucky to have, you know, that same cast of people and those good friends and the continual reinforcement of the bonds. We went to the same grade school, you know, we went to church together, our families went to church together, and our moms worked at the same hospitals. Like my mom worked at St. Vincent, Mark Phillips' mom worked at St. Vincent, Mrs. Batista was a nurse at the VA. So back in, as you probably know, in the 30s and 40s, women could do like three things, and one of them was be a nurse.
Right. That's awesome. That's a lot of different angles of how, you know, St. Joan of Arc is entrenched within the community. I mean, CYO was a great time growing up. I did pretty much everything, and Rancho Formosa was, you know, I remember playing MASH in the woods, and that was like, you know, groups of kids against groups of kids trying to find the kids and all the stuff, and it was
playing MASH like the TV show. It
kinda,
was named after
kind of.
Oh wow.
But it was called MASH, but also the food that in the giant stew pot they called MASH. So it was like playoff of the food plus a playoff of teams in the woods, kind of a survival, finding each other and this stuff. It was pretty neat. But anyway, is there anything else you'd just like to add in general about the church?
Well, I would say, so I'm 61 now. I graduated from Joan of Arc in 73 and Brebeuf in 77. And as, well, you had Vatican II, which I think was like in 65. So I guess before that, you know, priests like said pretty much the entirety of the mass with their back to the congregation. But that is a really hazy memory for me because, as you know, society seemed to kind of become more loose and liberal about 1967. We had some priests who were pretty, relatively speaking, radical. There was one guy named Hank Herpel, and he like said mass in sandals, which was, you know, excuse me, the sandals were a scandal at the time. But we had a group of priests there, and I think they were good. They were decent human beings, but they did not last as priests. They eventually left the priesthood, and and got married. Hank Herpel, you know, as far as I know, was like managing a Burger King in Dairy Queen, or a Burger King in Greensburg. And Father Schneider was the head of CYO in he was head of the CYO camps when I was a kid. He left the priesthood and got married. So, you know, not saying that judgmentally, just saying, I guess when I started school there, you know, Monsignor Bosler had been there as a pastor probably since late 30s. And then you had this group of younger priests. And again, I want to say this without judgment. I just want to say it as kind of a historical phenomenon. You had these younger priests who were like everybody becoming more liberal in the late 60s. And a lot of the ones at St. Joan of Arc that I knew ended up leaving the priesthood. Now, there are others who to this day are priests, wonderful priests. One of those I would mention is Father Lawler, very tall man. He later was the chaplain at Methodist, and probably the last time I saw him was in 2015. I kind of invited myself, went to brunch with Joe and Melinda and Father Lawler. So there are exceptions, but a lot of the priests that we had as grade school kids, you know, they eventually left the priesthood and married and I guess had families.
Wow. All right. Well, I really appreciate you sharing. I need you to just stay on the line, and we're going to close this one out, but we're going to get your picture to be able to attach to the page, if that's all right. Unless you had anything else you wanted to say.
Yeah, can I just tell you briefly, my dad and my grandfather, well, not my dad, but my grandfather and my great-grandfather worked on the railroad, and they did not have a car, and my great-uncle, too, but they did not have a car until 1950, and they lived at 25th and Carrollton, and my uncle was saying a few years ago, so what my grandma, my dad's mom would do would be walk from Carrollton one block west and get the college streetcar and ride that from like 25th Street to 42nd Street. Then she'd walk a couple more blocks west, and she did this while she was having four kids and she had pretty bad ankles. And she did that when she was playing the organ at Joan of Arc from 1921 to 1931. And they didn't have a car until my grandma won a multi-parish church lottery in 1950. And so let's see, what else? I think as far as most of my family's history with Joan of Arc was in the 20th century. And probably the highlight was on September 13th, 1952, when two of my aunts, of course my grandma's daughter and my dad's sisters, two of my aunts got married in St. Joan of Arc in a double wedding on that day. So it's been all downhill from there, Sean, since September 13th, 1952.
Well, it's a lot of history. Well, I appreciate your time. If you could just stay on the line, I'm going to close this one out.
Thanks for doing this, Sean.
You got it.